Imagine a universe where humanity has spread across the stars, yet remains utterly alone. This isn't the comforting solitude of being the first to achieve spaceflight. It's the eerie silence of a galaxy that should be teeming with ancient civilizations, but instead offers only ruins and whispers. In Revelation Space, this cosmic emptiness isn't mere chance, it's by design. The novel weaves together three seemingly disconnected narratives that converge around a chilling answer to the Fermi paradox. What if intelligent life is rare, not because it's difficult to evolve, but because something systematically eliminates it? The story unfolds across vast distances and timescales, where relativistic space travel means that decades pass between destinations. This isn't your typical space opera with convenient faster-than-light travel. Here, the harsh physics of our universe remains intact, a constraint that creates both narrative tension and philosophical weight. When characters make decisions, they do so knowing they might return to find everyone they knew long dead, civilizations transformed, or entire worlds altered beyond recognition. On the windswept planet Resurgam, Dan Silvestre pursues an obsession with the ruins of the Amarantan, an extinct bird-like species wiped out just as they reach technological maturity. When Silvestre declares their catastrophic end was self-inflicted rather than random, he challenges both political forces and cosmic mysteries. Silvestre's brilliance allows him to see patterns others miss, yet his single-mindedness destroys relationships, including his marriage to Pascal. His discovery of an obsidian obelisk containing astronomical knowledge beyond what the Amarantan should have possessed deepens the mystery. What caused this primitive civilization to suddenly develop advanced technology before vanishing? As the political situation deteriorates, rival Girardeau orchestrates a coup, redirecting resources away from archaeology. After a tragic accident kills many of his team, Silvestre is arrested, seemingly ending his quest. Yet his imprisonment forces him to reconsider what drove the Amarantan to extinction and whether humanity might be walking the same path. Aboard the massive starship Nostalgia for Infinity stands one of science fiction's most memorable vessels, a decaying 4-kilometer behemoth designed for thousands but crewed by mere handfuls. Unlike gleaming starships of optimistic futures, the Infinity is grotesque and failing, its corridors haunted by feral maintenance robots and corrupted defense drones. Triumvir Ilya Valeva's journey reveals the ship's full horror: dying hydroponics forests, abandoned quarters with possessions of long-dead crew, and dangerous radiation zones. At its heart lies Captain Brannigan, confined to a damaged cryogenic capsule as a techno-organic plague transforms his body into baroque patterns of silver-black tendrils. The Infinity serves as both setting and metaphor, humanity's grandest achievement succumbing to entropy, parts sealed off from past damage like civilization itself in Reynolds' universe. Meanwhile, in plague-ravaged Chasm City, Anna Khoury works as an assassin in Shadow Play, a game where the wealthy pay to be hunted for entertainment. Separated from her husband Fazil by a clerical error that placed her on a relativistic starship, Khoury is approached by the Mademoiselle, who wants her to assassinate someone who hasn't paid for it. After 22 years in suspended animation, Khoury finds Chasm City transformed, while the Mademoiselle remains unchanged, using Khoury's husband as leverage to ensure cooperation. Aboard the Nostalgia for Infinity, Valeva shows Khoury the cache chamber housing 40 mysterious Hell-class weapons capable of taking planets apart. Meanwhile, Silvestre studies an Amarantan spire featuring references to banished ones led by Sunstealer, a name that strikes him with odd familiarity. When Khoury interfaces with the gunnery chair, she experiences an eerie connection. Unknown to Valeva, the Mademoiselle has discovered an entity hiding within the gunnery system. Something has hidden itself in the gunnery system, and I'm prepared to bet she knows nothing about it at all. The connection between the Amaranthan's sun stealer and the entity in the ship suggests an ancient threat persisting across vast stretches of time. These connections hint at cycles of destruction reaching back millions of years. The crew desperately seek Sylvest because he previously halted Captain Brannigan's transformation during a Yellowstone stopover. His cryptic warning suggests an unexplained complex history between them. Sylvest uncovers a massive buried structure beneath Resurgam concentric shells containing an alien city with a perfect black hemisphere at its center. Made of an unknown carbon allotrope with self-repairing macromolecules, this technology far exceeds what the primitive Amaranthan should have possessed. Aboard the Infinity, Kuri enters gun space and battles an entity called Sunstealer. During this conflict, the Mademoiselle reveals a terrible truth. Spacefaring cultures once expanded across the galaxy until the Dawn War erupted, a conflict consuming entire star systems. This war spawned the Inhibitors, machine chimeric entities programmed to systematically suppress intelligent life. Their machines, seeded throughout space, eventually began failing, allowing species like the Amaranthan to evolve. When the Amaranthan discovered and activated an inhibitor artifact orbiting their star, they triggered their own extinction. Humanity now risks the same fate. The novel transforms from space adventure to cosmic horror. We aren't alone because we're first. We're alone because something hunts civilizations. The emptiness between stars isn't benign, but the result of systematic extermination. In the novel's climactic sequence, Sylvester realizes he's being manipulated by Sunstealer to test whether the inhibitor device will activate in response to human presence. Inside the device, he experiences a transcendent understanding. The neutron star Hades isn't merely a stellar remnant, but a vast computer bridging future and past. In a final act of sacrifice, Sylvester detonates antimatter hidden in his artificial eyes, destroying the inhibitor device and himself. Yet this isn't truly his end. Both Sylvester and Pascal have been preserved as simulations within the Hades Matrix, where they can study a resurrected Amaranthan civilization in perfect detail. Meanwhile, Volyova releases the captain's plague aboard the Infinity as a desperate measure to combat Sunstealer, replacing one megalomaniac with another that seemed less dedicated to their destruction. As Corey prepares to leave the simulated world, she contemplates how the couple would likely only choose death when nothing else fascinated them. Following Pascal's instructions, she spreads her arms wide as if she could fly, and the ground drops away, projecting her towards safety. In the vastness of space, amid ruins of ancient civilizations and cosmic threats, Reynolds crafts a deeply human story of curiosity, obsession, sacrifice, and transformation. The novel poses haunting questions. Have we truly escaped the inhibitors or merely postponed confrontation? Is intelligence itself a cosmic anomaly in an otherwise hostile universe? Yet even facing cosmic horror, human qualities endure: our curiosity, sacrifice, and ability to transform. Perhaps the novel's most profound insight is that in a universe designed to extinguish intelligence, understanding becomes rebellion. Though small against the cosmic darkness, our awareness of our place in this hostile universe becomes its own transcendence. When you next look at the stars, consider the silence between them not as emptiness, but as warning. If we knew our brightest achievements might attract our destruction, would we dim our lights or shine all the brighter while we can?